The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components. Lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. And these guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop, and they all drive custom vehicles. So they use their products that they sell on their own vehicles. So if you guys are looking for anything for your vehicles, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts or whatever, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of The Drop. If you like these podcasts and all the other content we create, head on over to our websites and purchase merch. Purchasing merch keeps us going and creating more content. Our websites are grinder-tv.com and livelifecustom.com. We really appreciate it. Now on to the episode. Seth.
What's up?
Whoa, how you doing today?
I'm ready, I think.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
We're rolling today, man.
The beginning is good. The ending, the middle might not be so good.
I
have nothing. I have so much to talk about.
I know. Yes, I know. And it's killing me.
It's killing me too. But
I know. You have so much going on right now.
I know. I'm super excited about the next month. I'm really excited about.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, video production wise.
Video production wise, truck building wise, show wise, it's going to get pretty rowdy here pretty soon.
Yeah, the video production, I'm more excited about the video side of things right now than the actual truck building side of things.
Really? Like producing videos?
Producing videos of the truck being...
Okay, all right, yeah.
Yeah.
You're more excited to show the process rather than having
I'm more
the
excited
end products.
To show what's going on.
Right, than actually having the thing when it's all done.
Because it's hilarious.
It's so funny, dude.
I have not shown you everything.
Oh, my gosh. Well, one thing, we can't talk about this publicly at this moment, and it was freaking hilarious last week when we were talking about your truck, about how it hasn't ran. And then Tanner's watching the episode in his garage, and he pans down to the most rusty spark plugs and other bits I've ever seen.
So the truck did go to Tanner's about, I don't know what day it was.
Yeah, that's everybody knows. Well, not everybody knows.
Not everyone knows. There. But my Tacoma left the garage after sitting in the garage for a while, just waiting, because I didn't want to mess with the wiring. I didn't want to mess with the plumbing. I didn't want to mess with anything, because Tanner is such a guy that just does everything. Like, he takes a project and he takes control of it, and that's it, you know? So I didn't want to start something, and then he goes, well, why the hell did you do that?
Which he says.
Which
he will say.
He says to himself that. So
right.
I was just like, no, I'm just leaving. Until it goes to his place, I'm just not going to touch it.
Yeah.
So I drop it off. He made a post of the truck there with, you just see the logo and then his truck in the background.
Yeah. And well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And I was going to say, it confused a lot of people.
Because
he just put, well, this happened.
Uh-huh.
And then when you share a story, like, or share a Instagram thing on your stories, it just blows up full screen, so it's hard to see who actually...
Yeah, yes, I've noticed that. Mm-hmm.
So it looked like I posted, well, this happened. So I'm getting random messages. I'm getting messages of, congratulations, you got your logo. And I'm like...
Sorry, that's hilarious.
Tanner was getting messages asking if he got in Forbidden Fantasy.
Oh my gosh, that is awesome.
And then I was getting messages about if I bought a new project, because you see the project in the background.
Right, and that, I don't know exactly if people know exactly what that is, but that is...
Yeah.
It's a very well-known vehicle. It's sort of like the... Would it be the sister to Twisted Metal? The cousin?
The only person that saw that truck and actually responded to what it was Zach from No Regrets.
Oh,
he's
cool.
Like, I know that truck. And I'm like, yeah. I knew you would know that truck.
Well, that's interesting that not a lot of people do. I mean,
Or they just didn't respond.
Yeah. But that is a pretty... I mean, it is a bit of obscure history, but it is a... It is a part of the history, you know, this whole thing, which is actually interesting, because that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. We're going to be talking about, last week we brought up our Mount Rushmore of mini trucking, and we got a lot of people weighing in their opinions, but we'll get into that in a minute. But yeah, that truck has a lot of history, and when it's complete and the way Tanner's going to complete it, it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
It's going to be a bad truck.
Yeah. Hopefully, Tanner. Yeah. Hopefully.
Oh, he will. I'm sure he will.
Yeah.
He's, like you said, like, he's the type of dude who just can, like, get stuff done, knows how to do it, and really, maybe sometimes to a fault, Tanner is pretty bold about doing stuff.
He likes to do things out of spite, too.
So, I think over the last, like, couple months, we've realized that spite is one hell of a motivator.
Well, especially, I think, when you get a little older, you know, you're not trying to prove anything, but you're just like, I still can do this, or I know how to do this, or whatever it is. You know what I mean? It's just, it's interesting. But yeah, spite. Yeah. I mean, that's why the whole reason I'm doing that, my truck.
I love it. I am so invested in this whole thing, just emotionally myself.
Yeah.
You know, watching this whole journey. Because yeah, it is. It's like out of spite thing. It's out of like, what's another good word for it? It's like proving to yourself, like, yeah, proving to the world, like. But then what's funny is like, the world probably doesn't. World's probably like, whatever, man.
Whatever.
Don't finish it. We don't care. Yeah. No, but yeah, no, I'm very excited for all that. I love the hilarity that's ensuing. I love the storyline. I love everything about it. So it's going to get exciting.
And again, I don't like, I hate when people, like, don't post things or surprises or whatever, but
like, well, there's a purpose.
There's a method to this, you know, mm-hmm. Like, I only shared a small couple things with you. I only shared a small couple things with a few other people. And even Carl was just like, come on, just tell me. Like, I want to know.
And that's the thing. Like,
yeah,
you would assume that I know exactly what's going on. I don't.
Yeah.
I'm on the benches with everybody else.
Yeah.
Cheering along, going with the ups, going with the downs.
Yeah.
I'm just like everybody else, just waiting to see what happens.
Yeah.
And it's been incredible. I've been having a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. It is fun.
Yeah, definitely.
But I just feel like the ball's rolling, because I'm pretty mm-hmm. sure that the other truck is gonna go to Panda soon.
Nice.
And that's gonna start going, and then just like, I just feel like the gears are just going,
and they're about to break loose.
Break loose. Yeah.
Heck yeah, man. And that's cool, because like, it has been a little slow over the past couple months. You know,
yeah.
We're all gearing up. I'm gearing up. I just put in my order for all my blanks to get ready to get rolling. You know, on the show season, I have a plan, you know, that I've talked to you about. I'm hoping to execute it. Like, a lot of stuff. There's a lot of cool stuff going on. But when we sit down, we're like, well, there's really not a lot going on.
All I have to say is, buy our t-shirts.
Please buy our t-shirts.
Especially mine, because my my money is just, you'll see in the video, it's just, it's going there. It's going
there.
You're
putting it out there. Huh?
It's moving. But I mean, that was the plan. Yeah. You know, like, so, but,
hopefully it inspires people, you know, hopefully, well, like, people could look at that and be like, you know what, if this dude can do this and start with basically a motor and a transmission.
And also there's a big, like, having good people in your corner mm-hmm. aspect to this.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, from Sean and Dean, and from Panda and his guys, and then Tanner, and then his nephew Aiden is working or is helping him out over there, like, and just busting ass on the thing, and just like, and then just from everyone's support, you know what I mean? Friends mm-hmm. and all that stuff. Like, even though that's just like, it's any support is really good.
So. Right. And I think that illustrates a couple points. One, it illustrates the point that we always preach, which is have a plan,
mm-hmm.
you know, even though your plan was a little all over the place, which is part of the whole process
yeah.
of this.
Yeah.
But it also illustrates another really key important thing is when we talk, we always kind of preach this like positive PMA kind of thing, positive mental attitude and putting positiveness into the world. And that, because we do that and you do that specifically, you now have all these people who are excited for you. And like you said, in your corner, and ready to go to bat for you.
Yeah.
You know?
And in turn, it makes me really excited for them, because like, I want to film what they're doing and show exactly. off what they're doing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know? So.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's really cool. It's really exciting. So yeah. Stay tuned. Well, yeah. And buy t-shirts. Let's like really emphasize that point. Buy t-shirts.
Yes.
And when you buy, you get entered to win contests that we keep forgetting to give away.
Oh, that's what I was going to do. I was going to tell you to send me the name so we can just do it on this episode.
On the episode.
Yeah, just do it on the, because obviously no one cares about this because zero people have said, hey, when you doing that giveaway.
Right.
So we need to, I have some ideas for going into this new year for these giveaways. I think, I think instead of doing smaller giveaways, we do one big one towards the end of the year.
That's cool. Yeah. I like that idea.
Let's get more people involved and do maybe like five giveaways or do like levels, level five, level two, level one. Mm-hmm. Talk to people early on and just kind of, and then promote it throughout the year.
Yeah.
You know, but the other issue with that is, and I'm just being completely candid here because this is like behind the scenes type stuff.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Is, well, if you say, hey, we're doing this giveaway and you have like, say, an AccuWare and audio stuff and all this stuff, but we're doing it at the end of the year, are people going to wait to the end of the year to buy stuff?
Oh, to purchase things. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So we almost have to do like, we almost have to create things with
hype,
but also create stuff that is only available certain times.
Yeah.
And since you are the printer, we could do limited edition, limited edition t-shirts.
Yeah.
The limited edition drop shirts, limited edition colors of just the basic drop logo. Okay. And then just, these are only available online. These are not available at shows and only available until X. And if we only sell 10 t-shirts, we only sell 10 t-shirts, but
I love it. You know, we've been doing these giveaways for what? Oh, man. We've been doing these giveaways since like 19? Have we been doing? No.
Since the podcast.
Since a little bit before that, I think. Anyway, regardless, we've been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
I think it's a really cool idea. I think we've given away lots of cool stuff. I think people have liked it, but it is definitely time for a modification because we can't like live on this forever, you know?
Well, that, and we just, obviously, people aren't paying attention because they're not going, hey, when's the giveaway? They're not waiting for it. Whereas if it was an AccuWare giveaway,
those are,
or
the popular
airlift
ones,
giveaway, or a Vyer giveaway, like those are the popular ones. So
right,
yeah.
Well, we'll brainstorm it together and we'll come up with something because that's sort of the theme. I love the theme for this year, which is like, go team.
Yeah,
get it.
Get after it.
Get after it. The last time I felt, this is going to be funny, the last time I felt like this positive and this like ready to go was in 2020.
Oh.
Beginning of 2020.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember going into 2020, that first like month or so, couple months, because we went to LST that year. And I remember feeling this same way. And then just everything went to shit. So
the world
hopefully that doesn't happen again.
Cross
because
your fingers.
I'm feeling that.
Yeah.
But yeah, lots of exciting stuff coming up. Bear with us. We're hanging in there. We're doing this thing.
And usually we have guest episodes to ride through this little dud of an era.
But it's been kind of difficult to get together.
It has. It's just, there's a lot going on here. Mm-hmm. And then just the timing of going out there. And then, you know, I was supposed to take the truck out there for paint. And then we were going to do a bunch of guest episodes then. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that just hasn't happened.
It will. Everything will work out.
Yeah.
And thanks for everybody for sticking with us. We're not sticking with us. Well, I don't know. Anyway, however, my week is going pretty good. Like I said, I'm ready. I got my blanks ready to go. Just for the next like month or so, it's all just LST prep, getting ready for the show season. I told you, I don't want to say privately because it makes it sound like it's some deep secret. It's not a deep secret, but just nothing to really go into detail about. But plan, going after it, going to get it.
Did you release the full new artwork or just the teaser?
Oh, no, that was a teaser. Well, I released a teaser and then Dutch did the whole thing, which is cool. But yeah, I have a new t-shirt design, or will have a new t-shirt design.
Oh, Rick put the whole one out there?
Yeah, well, he asked. He's like, hey, man, can I put this out there? And I was like, yeah, sure, because like the circumstances and stuff, whatever. But yeah, I'm like, yeah, go for it, man. And so he put it out there. So this is the new design.
Yep, right here.
This is it. This is Rick the Dutch did this one.
And he surprised you with this one.
So... should I go into a bunch of detail about it?
Not a bunch of detail, but it was basically like he was like, hey, I owe you a drawing.
Yeah,
And you said, okay, anytime. And then he just showed it to you without any input.
Nope. Yeah. That was completely on his own. So the interesting, we can kind of discuss that a little bit because it's an interesting thing with me specifically. I have a lot, there's a lot of people who are like excited about the, about what I do and they're excited about the stuff that we make. And so they want to like be a part of that, which I freaking love. Our good friend Derek up in Canada, he came up with the Rat Frank, design, you know, Dutch came out with this new design. I've had other people like make me things just purely like just to be cool and make things. They always include the Forerunner. And so, like, I'm at this very interesting part because, like, it's not me. It is to some extent, but it's not me, like, using the Forerunner as, like, my only gimmick kind of thing. It's just when, you know, people, like, think of my personality and my, they associate that truck with me.
Yeah.
You know, it would be, like, Jaime and his truck or, you know, Georgia and her lowrider. And, like, just, like, people's vehicles sort of just become their part of their personality,
yeah.
You know? So, but yeah, I'm at this like really interesting thing where like, are people going to, I've actually asked a couple of people and they gave me some pretty honest opinions about it. I was like, am I just being, you know, silly, like always relying on this one thing, you know, are people going to get sick of it? Or people like, oh great, here's Frank's Forerunner and another type of, you know, thing. And the reaction that I got is like, no, people like you, they like your brand and it's cool. Like, yeah. Cool artists.
You could
cool
also art. Put it out there, too. Like, since you have so much Forerunner stuff now, you could be like, hey, if you want to surprise me with something, just don't draw a Forerunner.
Yeah. Yeah. Just but then, I don't, like, that feels weird to me. Like, I don't know. It's kind of a unique situation to
yeah.
me. Yeah. But Dutch did a great job on it. I love yeah. it. I had always had this idea for, like, a robot-themed thing. And that's another thing that maybe I'm leaning a little too hard into is like, since I'm like the face of the brand and I'm like leaning into this, like, look, this is me as a robot. This is me as a monster. This is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. We're just trying to figure out stuff.
Well, that's the thing, right? You sell 10 different t-shirts. It's okay to experiment with four or five t-shirts.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm doing that too. Like yeah. I'm just kind of like putting stuff together. I came up with this other cool design that I'm not ready to put out there yet. But I like it. It just sometimes like my ideas will just shoot out of nowhere. Like I'll sit there for weeks, like trying to think of something. And then I did you see that in the group chat? The where it says custom por vida.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you saw that? Okay, so that I just thought of that morning. I was like, and then I kind of like messed with it, and it's like, oh, this is actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know? So those ideas come around like that yeah. too.
Well, that's what me and Lindsay keep telling you. It's just like. Me and Lindsay can come up with a design in our head and go, and it just has to sit there. But you can come up with a design in your head, walk out to your shop and print that design and sell that design on 10 t-shirts. Like,
and that's what I'm trying to like.
Dude, there's no trying. It's literally, you're like, oh, that's cool. Get up, go print it.
That no, I mean, okay,
you could have so it. You can have them printed.
I'm doing that.
Put yeah, and put on your website in one day.
Yeah,
no one else can do that in our little group.
And I'm
except
I'm
for you
exercising that.
Yeah. One thing I've been not real recently, but I started to do this and I'm doing it more and more is if I'm on my little office, my setup here, right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll start editing, then I'll watch some YouTube and then, but if I start to do things on my computer that I can just do on my phone, I shut my computer down and I go to bed.
Oh, okay.
Cause if I'm just sitting in here scrolling,
right.
I'm not getting any, you know what I mean? Like I'm for an extended period of time, like more than 10 minutes or whatever.
I do that same thing too.
Yeah.
Cause if I'm sitting at my desk scrolling TikTok, I'm like, I don't have to be in here.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just like, that's when I shut the office down at night and I go to bed. But you know, during the day, it's like if you catch yourself doing that, you could literally get this around this mental block and just be like, I'm just going to go print this t-shirt.
Or edit this video or drop these clips
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like one of those things where we have such bad habits.
Yeah. No, I that's it. That's it, just breaking it one thing at a time. Excuse me. That's what I'm telling myself currently is like, I'm almost taking that same mentality where I'm like, just drop four clips.
Yeah.
Edit four clips and see where that goes. And sometimes editing those four clips turns into like, I just edited a whole minute of video.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Hey, we're trying, man. We're trying our best, you know.
I don't know if we're trying our best.
Well, I'm trying my best.
No, we are trying toward the fullest capabilities we want to in that moment.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's the best way to describe it.
Yeah. That's the title of this episode.
Say it one more time.
Trying to the best of our capabilities at this moment.
We're trying. Yeah. Yeah, that right? is. I like it. Yeah. Title of this episode.
Because our best could be different tomorrow. Our best could be different in an hour.
That's a good point.
You could just having a bad day. You know, you can have a bad day and then tomorrow you just do better.
Right. I like it. So last week we brought up the Mount, or I know someone asked us about the Mount Rushmore, like Mount Rushmore and who would we put on Mount Rushmore within our scene. And we got a lot of opinions and a lot of names, and which we'll go over. But so to kind of like start this conversation, I think we need to like think of what this Mount Rushmore thing is, right? So the actual Mount Rushmore has some of some great presidents in history. You know, people like George Washington, the first president, Abraham Lincoln, freed the slaves. They're
significant presidents.
Significant. They've done significant things. Yeah. Okay. And the reason I want to start there is because when we start going over the names and stuff, I have, did you happen to come up with a little list? Maybe.
And I can explain that once we get into
it. Okay. So I did, but I came up with two lists. Because I was thinking about that, like Mount Rushmore, notable people, notable presidents in history have done significant things. So I came up with two. One would be like people who have done things that affect, all based on my opinion, people have done things that are in factual, changed the way that this whole scene is shaped. I think that's one list. And then I have my personal one that are people who motivated me.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's a big thing. So, but I'll let you go ahead on this one and then.
No, you go. Yeah.
No, I was going to say because I had a few people message me and they were asking questions like, well, what's this based on or what's this? And I'm just like, that's the problem is each of us have our own experience. And I'll give you a perfect example. Ernie Macias. You know, his name comes up quite a bit. You know, but at the same time, there could be people in life in the scene that had not good, great run-ins with Ernie Macias.
Right.
So they would be like, no, I don't like that guy. Rest in peace. You know what I mean? But that's the thing, right? Bob Hayes. The first time I ran into Bob Hayes, he was a complete jerk to me.
Same.
But he wasn't, but it wasn't because he's a jerk. Right. It was the situation that I later understood what was happening. Mm-hmm. So like, and I'm sure that I could have come up, you know, as a jerk to somebody. You know, I've had people yell in my face before because of a situation at a show, you know, so like, and I've been a jerk to people at our show and I, you know what I mean? So like, it all depends on your run-ins with these people or your now social media run-ins with these people. Because before, back in the day, it was real life run-ins. But now a lot of people they might not have real life run-ins. They might just see this person make a comment on Facebook, share something stupid about the LA fires that I just want to murder people because they're saying stupid things.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Just like, you know what I mean? So there's just like, there's so many variables in this thing.
Right. Which is exactly one of the points that I was making last time we talked about this is, and like when we talk about people who existed a long time ago, way before we were born or around or anything, and I go back to that dude for 46 to 64's page, we don't know those people personally. The first guy to put hydraulics on a vehicle is revolutionary. You know, like he was the one who started all this. He could have done some pretty crappy things.
Well, that know? and oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and that changes the retrospect of everything, especially this list that I'm about to go over. We are too wrapped up currently in what we're doing to have unbiased opinions about these people. Yeah. Because they are all of these. I'm going to go through these names, and you're going to have an opinion on each one of these people.
Oh, I'm sure I will.
You know? Yeah. I think we are too much stuck. Not stuck. No, that's not the right word. We are too much wrapped up into what we're doing to objectively come up with a list of people who deserve these accolades, in my opinion.
No, that it's 100% true. And then there's the other part of you could just put trucks on Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, someone said that too.
Because the truck could have altered the course of whatever it is. Like you said, the first person to put hydraulics, that's the vehicle, not the person. The first person to paint graphic, Cal Concepts, Ernie Macias' Mitsubishi, last look, you know, these, you know, for me, it was like tuck lugs and then the black 95 and a half Tacoma that Gendro built. Mm-hmm. So it's just like there's certain things that caught my eye and altered the way my course,
right,
but might be insignificant to other people. So
exactly. And that's why I think they're, that's why I came up with kind of two lists.
Yeah.
So let's go over these names. Let's start at the top. So I went through and I gathered everybody's.
Say the name and I'm just going to talk shit about each and every one of them.
Oh, you?
No, I'm just playing.
Well, Brett Oaks is on this list. So
Brett Oaks is on my list too.
Just kidding, man.
There is, I didn't come up with a list of certain people, but I came up with like a reason for some people to be on there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Almost ever, like any founder or longtime president of a club, you know, that is still around and still doing good things today, that has been around for a very, like Severed Ties changed the course of so many things.
Oh yeah.
You know, Negative Camber, Courtney Hollowell, Relaxed Atmosphere. Like, and I don't know the history of a lot of these clubs. And then there's smaller clubs like our club, Local Finesse, you know, not saying small clubs in terms of anything, but there's big names and then there's different levels to it.
Right. Right. All right. Well, let's start this up. So what I said was I went through and I gathered everybody's opinions. And then the names that came up the most, I started like making marks to see how many times they were mentioned. So I think we'll start there and then work our way down. So top of the list, you know, Courtney, Bob Hayes, Bob Grant, Brian Gendro, Ernie was mentioned quite a few times. Sean Mahaney was mentioned a couple times. And again, all of these people, very influential.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that, like, them being, you know, mentioned a few times in a row really kind of lends to the fact exactly, you know, like, how people, the people's feeling about them.
Yeah.
Right? So then you have kind of, like, names that aren't necessarily, like, brought up many times. However, like you said, it changed those people's lives.
Yeah.
We have Max Fish. We have K Daddy, the painter, Fester, Mike A, Mike Johnson. I don't know who Mike Johnson is. Do you know who that is?
Mike Johnson.
I don't know who that is. Me and you.
Someone said that?
Yeah, Erica.
Thanks, Erica, for making us feel good.
Right. But so her list is very kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put her on blast a little bit because it's just funny how she kind of like refers to. So it's me, you, Dino, the LST guys.
Yeah.
Just them in general. the three heads of those guys.
She's not wrong.
No, not wrong. Not wrong. It's just funny how she
mentioned that.
Shannon, Freaks of Nature, Brett Oaks. You know, this is a good one. Eric Salib, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Little Shop.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Tom Jenkins. Jason Ballard. Phil Fowler. Sean Carlson. And Panda. Panda.
Yeah. Hey, Panda.
Yeah. Panda's going to be on
the Mount Rushmore. Would you put his face on the Mount Rushmore or a panda face?
I put it. Oh. That's a good question.
With its tattoo.
Yeah. With a no regrets tattoo on it. So, yeah. So that was, you know, those were some of the names that were put out there. Matt Hutchinson brought up like a completely different scenario. Because, again, influences. Mm-hmm. Who, like, you know, who was he influenced by? And he brought up a lot of painters, like you said. The OG concept guys. Charles Armstrong, the kid,
yeah.
You know. Doug Starbuck.
Yep. Yeah.
Pete Finlan.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. So, and that's sort of like where we came to is like, we are like so much up in the mix of it that it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Because everybody sort of has their place, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And when you started to get into the scene and who you grew up with and the trucks and all that stuff. So
what'd be interesting is like, so are a lot of the people that we like, you know, interact with, and a lot of the people that we know are in our generation of this truck scene. This list is 100% different to someone who grew up in the 80s and 90s mini trucking, like the mini trucking era guys.
Yeah.
Probably have none of these people on that list.
Well, yeah, like, so the Mini Truck Hall of Fame is probably the best thing to, you know what I mean? Like, the best thing to document all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm on that the committee that helps, you know, vote for, put in a vote for who gets selected and all that stuff. So sometimes when I see the names, or even the names of shows, I don't know who those people are and what they did.
Because they're sort of from the very beginning.
Before me. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And then they might have done something and then went away. You know, some of them are passed away. So it's just like, so that's why it's hard to speak on like putting certain people. Like I would have my personal list, but I don't know. And I don't even know if my personal list, there's too many, there's still too many people.
Right.
You know, so.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally get that. I mean, so I went through and I made my personal list. And like I said, I made two. If you were, and this list is probably isn't accurate either, like you said. So if I was to, in my orbit, like, so these people, I think, who are just like, kind of like, who, again, like changed the landscape, did things that set the pace for kind of like everything else. And it would be like Bob Hayes, you know, for running Rezo for so long, running Sunset for so long, is like, take out everything and just objectively, he's like a pillar of the community. Mm-hmm. You know, like he has, if whatever shows are going on today, if you were to like connect the dots, it goes back to that person. You know what I mean? So him, Gendro, you know, the first guy to put airbags on a truck, like that, like same with the putting the hydraulics on a lowrider. Like that was a pivotal moment that changed the entire trajectory of this whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, imagine if he just didn't decide to do that. There'd still be cars on hydraulics and stuff, but we wouldn't be where we're at right now.
Yeah. Or we probably would, but it would just be, it would have taken, I don't know. It's the people that take risks, you know, like even the guy that the truck that he, like certain trucks that he bagged, the owners were taking a risk by doing certain things.
Oh yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Yeah. Because not only do you have to have this person who's crazy enough to do these things, you have to have people who are confident in you to execute that and willing to do that. And that kind of like what's interesting to kind of go off on a little thing, you know, going back to that whole like lowrider thing. And again, I hate to keep mentioning this guy's page, but it's pretty relevant in this conversation. You go to 46 to 64. When you go look at those old photos from like the 1966, you know, whatever, the, like lowrider show or whatever shows, I don't know the names of them, but big shows. And they're like, look at this. This is the 1966 so-and-so show, and this is a 64 Chevy, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's only a two-year-old car.
Yeah.
So these dudes are taking almost brand-new vehicles and doing these things to them. And that took someone to purchase a vehicle or acquire that vehicle, kind of like, you know, kind of how it relates to today's, you know, in what we do. Like a couple episodes ago, I mentioned the Titan that, you know, John and Mike and all those dudes had from the magazine. But it took Nissan to say, here you go. You know what I mean? So it takes a lot of like faith in people to in the person who's going to do these crazy things.
Yeah. Not really Nissan. Nissan did it for promotional use, but
you understand
back when you were in your late teens and early 20s, like the risk factors were a lot smaller. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel that with what I'm doing right now. Like I look, I'm going, whoa, this is just like just risking it for nothing.
Your Toyota?
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
It's just,
it is kind of crazy if you were to objectively look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is crazy. It is scary. It is. But then, you know, like that's what, not to get off topic, but like to talk about your truck specifically, the risk you're taking is all, you're taking all these risks, but the reward is what we want is content. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
you're doing it,
the risk you're taking does, the reward is already shining. But anyway,
yeah.
I digress. Courtney, you know, again, to like Courtney, I think, and this kind of ties into my other picks here, my personal picks, but again, like Courtney, you know, he was like the trajectory in that media world, you know, the things that he set forth, he was sort of like the changing of that old guard into, you know, Mike A and Ernie and, you know, all of these editors who came after him. Again, pivotal things that happened. Had not happened, trajectory would have changed.
Exactly, yeah. And that's a big thing. I looked when it came to Courtney, you know, me and Courtney weren't close or anything. Mm-hmm. But I paid attention to what he did less on a media side, because back then back when I paid attention to this stuff, I wasn't even trying to do too much media stuff. You know, it was more like the club. And so I paid attention as being the club president. I was paying attention to what he kind of their club and like their whole, like no rules, but rules type like thing. Just like, you know, their rules were always just like, represent your club well. There's no club meetings. If two club members are together at the same time, that's a club meeting. Like less rules equals a better club, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a super tough balance. So me watching Negative Camber and how they just were as a club, like nice vehicles, good representation, but they didn't have a ton of rules. They just let the club kind of rule themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, I really looked up to that.
Yeah.
And that again, shaped my trajectory as it, with this club and the way that right. this club goes.
Exactly. Exactly. and that was, you know, a different for a lot of people, you know? Yeah. And then to round it out, this one, I kind of like was like struggling with who to, again, you know, it's too, there's too much going on. But I put Bob Grant in there, as a builder and someone who kind of like shaped the entire, literally, because that's what he does. Yeah, like, yeah. Right. But he shaped that early crazy modified look. There were other people, and I'm not saying that those people were any less contributors, but again, it shaped the trajectory of how all this other stuff was.
Yeah.
You know? So those that's like, again, for my picks for like just people, pivotal, you know, noteworthy. What did we say earlier about like the presidents they did
significant. And that goes to like Bob Grant. When you think of a roll pan, you think of Bob Grant.
Yeah, exactly.
When you think of a cow combo, you think of Bob Grant. Taillight fillers, yeah. Corner fillers, whatever. It was always you always thought Bob Grant.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why I picked those. Now, on a completely other spectrum, I have a list of so that if that's the noteworthy, the people who did things, is now I want to make a list of people who influenced me specifically. And specifically, not just influence, because I thought about this. I've been actually put a lot of thought into this for the past few days.
Way more thought into it than I did, because I didn't. But right. I have been extremely distracted over the last week. So
that's fine.
I apologize to everybody.
I did all the thinking for us.
Frank is pulling this thing along.
I did all the thinking for both of us.
Yeah, there you go.
So like I was thinking about this, about people who not only inspired me, like in general sense, but to actually do something, to pick something up and create something and keep moving forward. And so on my list, I have Von Dutch. Mm-hmm. You know, he was like, I've spoke a lot about my obsession of like 60s counterculture. But him specifically is he motivated me enough to go out and buy a pinstriping brush, buy some paint and just give it a try. You know, so I think that like that's really important too. So when people are like thinking about, you know, the influences of their lives, like who actually influenced you to physically do something,
which is funny because you have zero merch with pinstripes on it,
which is funny. It's just really funny. I was like when I was going and it's all a phase and my other picks here too, like phases, you know, but again, pivotal moments in my life. Where that all started was Angie was going to school in Long Beach. And I would go down there to visit her. Well, she'd be at class for a few hours. I had nothing to do. So this was back before, like, the internet was around, but I would just go to not Barnes & Noble. What was the other one called? The other bookstore? Dalton? No, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
But now it's bothering me that I can't remember the freaking name. Anyway, so bookstore, but it wasn't Barnes & Noble. It was a different bookstore. I would go there and sit for hours and just look through, like, I was treating it like a freaking library. Like, but not buying anything.
Yeah. Well, you can do that now with bookstores. They have coffee shops in there and little places.
Well, I mean, at the time, this was the same. They had like chairs you could sit down and stuff. So I'd go through books and books and books and books and read about like Dutch and Roth and like all these guys, you know, from the 60s who built cars and stuff. And it that shaped my style, you know, in that time. I was very like into rockabilly, very into like, you know, old cars and stuff. But it like I said, it motivated me to pick up a brush and actually do something.
Yeah.
You know, the next one is Jesse James. I know, again, take out whatever opinions you have about him, you know, but again, it was that time, Monster Garage, you know, not only Monster Garage being on TV and inspiring me, Like that, those episodes of Monster Garage and Jesse James and his motorcycles and his cars he built motivated me to pick up a grinder and a welder and put a roll pan on my friend's truck, or like shave the back or shave door handles, like actual physical things, you know? And so like I was actually in this phase for a long time with, and because Angie went to school in Long Beach and West Coast Shoppers is Long Beach, I spent quite a bit of time just being a hang around. Like I'd just go down there and just hang out kind of for hours, you know? And like, again, I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesse, but I was kind of like in that orbit, you know? He would host this party every year called the No Love Party, and we would go and hang out, and I made a lot of neat friends through that whole experience. So like, again, very pivotal moment in my life to make me create and do something. And then this is an interesting one. Mike Finnegan.
Yeah.
Mike Finnegan inspired me to really invest myself in this scene. When I got into the scene in 2001, you know, I didn't know anything. I just kind of like I was approached from my friend Pat, and he's like, you want to be in a truck club? I'm like, what's a truck club? And then here I am, you know?
Yeah.
But as I got more into that scene, or more into this scene and more understanding of it, like Finnegan and reading his monthly editorial inspired me to go out and do things, inspired me to get in my truck and go to a show, you know, or go somewhere. And I remember this is kind of corny, but whatever. And I've told this story before, but I remember going down to a cruise night in Orange County, and they're like standing there hanging out. And you remember that green square body dually?
Yeah.
Okay. So he pulls in that thing, just rips in, lays it out like right next to me, just boom, lays it out. I'm like, whoa, holy shit. And then he opens the door, he gets out, and I look up and I'm like, you're Mike Finnegan. And he's like, yeah. I'm all, I read your article every single month, man. It's so cool. And I'm like,
fanboying.
Oh, dude, it was so bad. But again,
pivotal. People have been fanboying over with Mike Finnegan forever now.
Well, and that's kind of what's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, at the time, it was kind of corny because he's just a dude.
But now he's an actual celebrity.
He's like an actual celebrity with like it's legitimate, you know, not that it was ever illegitimate, but I'm just saying it is. It is funny how it turned into that thing. But at the time, it was kind of corny.
Yeah. You know,
that's like.
But it's
that's
true, like, because like I read Finnegan, like my favorite thing about Mini Trucking was reading the editorials.
Oh, yeah.
Reading that's the best people's part. Editorials. That kind of like was so my favorite thing when we had Grindr Magazine was to write the editorials, because I was influenced by Mike Self, Mike Finnegan, Courtney, Ernie, Mike, Alexander, like all these people that wrote these great stories every month. Mm-hmm. It was so much fun to read those. And then you start doing the things. And then when you start reading the things that they're writing about, you're like, I was there at that thing, or that it's not that thing's about me, but I was part of that whole thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And still to this day, like editorials are fun to read. And it feels a lot different because of obviously the magazines and stuff, but yeah, editorials were, I loved them. And Finnegan's, I would say Finnegan's were great. But Mike Self was, his were probably my favorite.
Yeah. Well, again, both great storytellers, you know, like you could open up an issue and just be kind of immersed in that for, you know, a few minutes or whatever. And it's kind of funny because like, as I'm, you know, going through my personal journey of like creation, content creation or whatever, looking back on the magazines, those, my two favorite parts of the magazine were the editorial and like the MT Graffiti in the back.
Oh, same here. Both.
Because like, I'm always looking like, who's in there? Who can I see? Like, oh, that's that person. Oh, that's, that, you know, and that kind of relates to what I'm doing now, where I'm having more fun showing off like all these real people. I mean, the trucks is like what keeps the thing going, but showing off these really cool people at the same time.
Yeah. You know? Because so if you think about it,
how it evolves.
If you think about Mini Truck and Magazine back in the day, you had four features. So that's, you know, 48 features, 48 trucks that were featured every year. You know, imagine all the trucks that weren't featured. Imagine all the people that own those trucks that were not featured. They were the consumers of the magazine. But then you had Mini Truck and Graffiti and Reader's Rides to kind of like there was a Forbidden logo in Mini Truck and Graffiti, it was just like, it felt like my truck was on the cover. Like that's how it felt to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. So that, you know, that's why I kind of was talking. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway,
did
I lost my brain for a minute.
My buddy, Bobby Moore, he brought up a good point, about, SSM, Street Source Mag.
Okay.
And how pivotal that was and how not too many people talk about it.
Yeah.
Because you had this where you had Mini Truck and Magazine, everyone could get it. They could read Mini Truck Graffiti. They could read the articles and stuff like that. But that was it. Then they put it and they set it down. Where Street Source was the first time we could talk to someone in a different state.
Right.
We could get in the chat room and just sit there and talk back and forth, you know, and then, you know, in real time. And we were sitting there talking about, that's probably a more significant thing than anything else that's happened. Yeah, because
I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Because it's not like Facebook or Instagram where you're going on there and there's just all these people. It was a direct thing for truck people, mm-hmm. you know, specifically mini truckers basically. And so it was probably the reason that so many people met because of chapters. So if you were in SoCal and you talked to a guy in whatever state, then you started talking that, I wonder how many chapters of clubs came of the SSM right. chat room mm-hmm. and all that stuff. So like, again, a pivotal thing because it changed the trajectory. Anything that changes a trajectory of someone's life is a significant thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I never really thought about that.
Yeah.
About how much those forms and stuff kind of set the groundwork. That kind of goes back to my West Coast Shoppers thing. Cause that was very similar in that world too. Like there was this whole, like, you know, bike culture, like chopper culture thing. And yeah, a lot of,
well, the forms were a direct trajectory of what's happening with the C10s right now.
I was going to bring that up.
Yeah.
Like that's exact. And they've said this, like, Ronnie has mm-hmm. said this, like, there, that's how all of that thing started.
Yeah.
And it was just came from those forums mm-hmm. and you were able to communicate with people you probably would never communicated with before.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I didn't think about that, but I'll put that up there on the,
yeah, I think
forums, a computer screen.
I almost think forums, whether it was a C10 forum for the C10 guys, Street Source for us, might've been more pivotal than anyone ever talks about.
Right. Yeah. I think it's really overlooked. Now yeah,
because you had the magazines and you had shows before before Street Source, but what Street Source did was as something completely different than mm-hmm. any of those things. You know, whether it was a magazine or anything, it was just, it did something completely different. So I was going to try to get Bobby. Bobby's coming down for Grand National Roads Show, but I kind of double booked that weekend, so I was going to come out and do the podcast thing, but I messed that up. So eventually, I want to, hopefully soon. Either he lives up in the Maryland area. So it's not like we're going to be up there at any point in time, but it would be fun to get him on there because he's got a whole different outlook, not different, but a unique outlook on this. And just, he knows quite a bit about things and he would be an interesting guest. So
yeah, definitely. And to kind of like just bring up another point of that whole era of like Street Source Magazine and forums. And it's funny how even now we rely on those forums like for problems, like because there used to be like I don't know if you've ever heard of it was like an off-road website. It's called like Ranger something, Desert Rangers. Mm-hmm. That's what it's called. It's called Desert Rangers. Exact same thing as Street Source Magazine, but for off-road dudes.
Yeah,
you know. And there was like, the Samba. Remember the Samba for Volkswagen dudes? Mm-mm. Oh, you never heard the Samba?
No, so never a Volkswagen dude, but I never heard of that one, no.
It's just sort of like, yeah. So like in their world, it's called the Samba. In our world, it's called Street Source Magazine. In the off-road world, it's Desert Rangers, the Samba and thing. And then also you have like, there's a Toyota one too.
Yeah.
And I totally forget the name of that one too. But the point is like, people would go on those things, not only communicate and you know, talk or whatever, but they would also solve problems. Mm-hmm. Like if I had a 89 Toyota 22R, something was going wrong with it, people would sit there and help each other out to diagnose those problems. So much so that now when we have problems now, we still go back and refer to those. Like how many times, like the Titan forums, Titan Talk forums.
Yeah.
Like how many times have you gone over there trying to look for an answer?
Well, when I Google anything, it takes me to those forums still, from 2008, you know, and I still read those and they still solve my problems.
Dude. And there was a meme floating around saying like, thank you, random user from 2007.
Oh, yeah.
Helping me out with
there's this. Old Reddit. Like Reddit is big like this too. You know, like I'll go to search something and a lot of tech stuff, camera stuff, mm-hmm. editing video stuff. And I'll search for something in a Reddit, subreddit will pop up. So I go on that subreddit and it's like 6 years ago. But then there's a guy that posted 3 months ago. Same thing. Yeah. He's like, thanks, such and such. Or So sometimes it's really cool because someone will be like, hey, did the problem ever get solved? And then the person that posted 5 years ago, still on, responds. And it's just,
and he says, no.
Yeah. He's like, I'm still sitting at my computer dealing with it. I haven't solved it yet. I don't know what to do. I haven't even continued with life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had so many, but one that pops up in my head, when I first bought the 4Runner, I went out to Ventura, California to go get it. And I drove that thing home. It was overheating. And so it had like an overheating issue, but only when it was going up hills. What do I live on top of? A giant freaking hill.
Yeah.
So I'm driving this thing home. Everything's going pretty good. It gets a little warm when I start going up a thing, but I know that pass is coming. And for those who don't know, like, I live near the Cajon Pass, which is a 3,500 foot climb, something like that. Maybe a little taller, maybe a little smaller. I don't know, but it's a big pass.
Yeah.
So I hit that thing and the oil pressure just drops to literally nothing. So I'm driving this. Angie's behind me. I had just bought this truck. I convinced Angie to buy this truck. Angie's behind me in her car, and I'm driving up this hill watching this oil pressure just disappear. And I'm like, how do I tell Angie that this truck that I just bought, the motor smoked? Yeah. Like, it's got no oil pressure, right? So I get home. I'm like trying to keep it cool. I'm like, okay, just keep it cool. So I go into my office, and I'm like on the computer, and I go to these old forums. Turns out 3.0s have just notoriously low oil pressure.
Yeah.
And the fact that it was getting hot just turned this into water, basically. Yeah. You know, so that's why. And then so the next day I get in the truck, start it, boom, oil pressure.
Yeah.
So it was like,
whew. Yeah. It's funny because the Titans, the 04 to 06s, so there's two different part numbers for the oil pressure gauge. Mm-hmm. So the 04 to 06s have live oil pressure gauges. So right. They move, you know what I mean? So they come up, and then when you get on the gas, they come up more, and then they drop down when you let out the gas. But the problem is, came to be with Nissan was people thought it was broken.
Because it was moving all the time.
It was moving. People don't understand, a non-car person doesn't understand how that works. Right. So then they just went to a fixed. So you would start the car, it would go to half, and it would stay there. Mm-hmm. And it would never move. If you got low oil pressure, a low oil pressure light would come on. Now going with these guys on the Titan forums and the Titan Facebook group, they're like, they'll send videos and pictures of like the oil pressure dropping really low and going, and they're like, what's wrong? And people are like, that's not right. Mine doesn't do that. And I'm like, look, you guys, the old ones did do that, and these newer ones didn't, because that's just the way. And then people have argued with me. They're like, nope, that thing's broken. I found one guy on YouTube that was going to sell his truck because he thought he didn't have, it was broken. He was like,
really?
I'm so glad you made a comment. He goes, I was about to sell this thing.
Wow.
I was like, no, it's totally normal. They're super low oil pressure, and then you get on the gas and they go up. Mm-hmm. But it's so funny that they changed that because people didn't understand it.
Yeah. To this day, when I'm driving the 4Runner, I'll still wrap it on a little bit just to make sure it moves. Because, I mean, when I talk about this thing sits low normally, I'm talking like on the L.
Well, it could just have two. Like, I replaced when my oil pressure gauge in the Titan went bad, the sensor, I replaced it with a aftermarket one. And I had to toss that and get an OEM one because
I've actually replaced it with an OEM one. Oh, okay. It still does the same thing. It's just the 3.0.
Just reads Toyota motor completely low.
On L.
Yeah. And it's not that they really have low oil pressure. They just read low, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure if you actually like test the pressure, it's fine. But anyway, it still runs, and it has not blown in 12 years. It has not blown up yet, so we're doing okay. What else was I going to bring up about? Nothing. But yeah, the whole internet forum thing was great.
Yeah. So I think.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Sorry, I just remember my thought. So how do you think that translates to now with like? Because I don't go on Facebook much. Are groups kind of like the new thing of that?
Yeah, I think so. There's just so many, you know, with SSM, it was one page, and yeah, you did have subgroups and stuff, but now it feels like every day someone's starting a new mini truck page.
Yeah.
Mini truck in this mini, like it's like you can't keep up. You know what I mean? And what it is when someone just, I don't know what it is, that someone gets tired of one page or they just want their own page. And
so I don't know if you remember, this is kind of an actually interesting point too. So in the early days of Facebook, people would create like pages. Mm-hmm. And then so like, I'm really off the wall crap, but just to be funny, like people would say like, oh, I like tacos on Thursday nights at 11 PM, you know? And so people would like those. Well, I guess there was this moment in Facebook's history where they took all those like pages and turned them into actual like pages that you could like create stuff with, and then that kind of turned into groups. So I think a lot of those groups came from out of those like funny, you know, like pages.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I have some random Facebook groups I created. We created one called Drop Bear. And it was for the stuffed koala bear that we won at the top of the highest building in the Western, or in Australia's Western Hemisphere or something like that. Like Taka was there and Mal, and there was one of those claw machines stuffed. It was full of stuffed panda or stuffed koala bears. So we grabbed one, we got it. And then if you watch I got to put these videos out eventually, these old DVD videos, you see them in there. And then what Taka did was drew on it to make it evil. And there's all these funny, so if you go to Facebook and you search Drop Bear, our page, and it's got all these funny photos because it traveled the world. It came from here, and it went with Sarah Fish had it for a while, and then it went back to Australia. Like, we sent it back to Australia. I have no idea where the bear is now.
Oh man, that'd be kind of funny to find it.
But do you remember like when people were doing that, like in the mini truck world, they would like, there was a yard gnome.
There was a yard gnome
that here in Arizona, and that was
Lindsay and them. That was their thing, right?
I think so, or someone in that space. Yeah, and then the camel,
the acrophobia camel,
which that is a hilarious story.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, yeah, because they had the camel, and then Steve from our club stole it.
Really? Madness.
My Titan, when it was lifted on the big lift on it, I'm sleeping in it, and I heard this commotion outside. I look, and Steve throws something in the bed of my truck. Well, my truck was so tall, whatever you threw in there, you couldn't see it. So he was the camel, and he stole it. And then it went on. It was being held hostage. There was hostage notes they would write on pizza boxes. It was printed in Mini Truck and Magazine. Like, there was it was so fucking funny. We have to get Steve to tell that story one day. And I don't even know if he remembers it correctly, but it doesn't matter
because it'll be funny.
It went on for so long. And it, like hostage notes. If I can find some, if Steve still has those photos, I'm going to tell him to send them to me. But literally, like, it was Eddie Sabreco was involved in this too. Mm-hmm. So like they would pull, they would pull ski masks over their head and hold the camel and write on a pizza box, if you ever want to see this camel again. Like,
they're doing faux beheading videos.
Nice.
Heck yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
I miss those. I miss the fun internet days of like that.
Right. Yeah. Was it, you know, now looking back, I wonder if maybe we're just looking at it through rose colored glasses, but I don't know if it was as hostile back then. I feel like it wasn't.
I don't think it was. Like, I think all those people grew up and now they have opinions about other things that nobody wants to hear. Stop.
It's a little hostile.
Make Facebook great again. If you want to make something great again, make Facebook great again.
Stop. I like that.
If you're about to type something out, and you don't understand what you're typing, if you don't know about it, like, I'm not going to get on Facebook and type anything about space, because the only thing I know about space is that it's up there.
Right.
Right. So I'm not going to get on there and be like, da 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 space. If you get on Facebook and you type something out and you're not in that profession or you don't know anything about it, just don't type it. Share one of our videos.
That's a good suggestion.
Share one of your, in fact, there's a YouTube page that we bring up YouTube pages every once in a while. It's called Carport Customs, and these guys did
I just watched his OBS video.
That's the one I just watched too.
Yeah.
It was a really great rundown on OBS trucks.
Yeah.
So go to Carport Customs and share one of their videos. Like, let's help each other out. Go to whatever you watch on YouTube. It doesn't have to be one of our videos. It could be anything. And instead of typing an opinion out about some political thing or some conspiracy theory or some whatever, don't
share a video.
Share someone's YouTube video.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
I like that. One little bit of cleanup. On my personal thing, I only mentioned three things. I forgot the fourth thing.
Oh, what was the fourth thing?
Because some people may be like, "Hey, you only mentioned four."
Three.
So here's my fourth one. DVD creators. I didn't know how to really, you know, put that into one thing because, again, to go back to that about me physically doing things, the DVDs really influenced me to actually do things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the DVDs.
So, I mean, Low Lifes and Dominations and Surfaces.
Super influential to me, too, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, and then I was thinking about, like, my current, what I do now, which is create merchandise. Because as I am a content creator, I am a merchandise creator first. And I started doing that in 2003. And so I was like trying to think like, what, who or what? And then I remembered what influenced me. Remember how we were talking about spite?
Yeah.
I've never told this story before, but I'm going to tell it now.
All right.
In 2003, I was in my club, Twisted Obsessions, and we had this guy who joined the club. Now he's a great guy. I like him a lot. Guy named Nate. Well, when he joined the club, I had an S10. You know, everybody knows my thing about S10s. I had an S10. It was my first real mini truck bagged. And so he joins this club. He had an S10, but it was an Extreme. You know, like those early 2000s Extremes. And I'm going to put him on blast a little bit. You know, his parents bought it for him. He had it, his parents paid to get it painted. It was a nice truck. It was really nice, but it was stock. It was had this really nice paint job, but it was all stock. And his whole thing was, like, he had kind of talked shit to me because, like, I had an S10. But mine's bagged, fully shaved. It wasn't painted or anything, but bagged and fully shaved is what it was. And he had this, but he would, like, talk so much shit to me. And because, like, he had a newer truck, it was painted, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then so me and Andrew are just kind of like, you know, like, man, F this dude, you know, whatever. And we're like, we should make a T-shirt. This is where it all started. We said, we should make a T-shirt that says, body kits are for pussies.
Not even like this has been for pussies. Like, you're a pussy if you have a body kit. Like, you're just...
And we were like, yeah, let's do that.
Could this guy beat you in a fist fight?
I don't know. Probably. He's taller than me.
Yeah,
he's
so bigger.
He probably could. Yeah. He could probably beat me up.
You're like, you're a pussy, but...
But however, I always made sure that when we came to the meetings and stuff, I'd always park next to him.
Yeah.
I went out of my way. Because I'm like... Okay, and then you know, he had a friends and they would... And I'm like, my truck is on the ground.
Yeah.
Like, there's... Like, you know, I was just so dumbfounded about it. But that is... To pinpoint the birth of exactly what I do today was that.
Yeah.
We never actually made that shirt. It never came to fruition. But that got the idea rolling. They're like, yeah, we should make that shirt. Yeah, it'd be so funny. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we're like, well, you know, maybe we should just make some shirts. Or like, and then that idea like sparked. Yeah.
There's so many things that come out of spite.
It's great.
Versus just coming out of you wanting to do things.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't want to do that. I did it because this asshole over here said I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, so that I never told that story before, but that's
hilarious.
What happened.
Yeah, the DVD stuff was definitely influential, and it was funny because I was hanging out with you know, Ernie and watching the things that were going on, and that's why I started Grindr Magazine. Mm-hmm. Was because it wasn't because I wanted to start a magazine; it was because I wanted to do something to also do what these guys were doing. I'm like,
right,
these guys are having so much fun. What can I do? Well, I can't start a DVD; they already have a DVD. I'm going to start a magazine. And it was fun for a while, traveled everywhere, did all this stuff, but it ruined me financially. You know what I mean? Well, but I recovered and then took the Grindr Magazine, turned it into Grindr TV, da 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 da. And then, you know.
Pivotal moments.
Yeah.
It wasn't out of passion.
It wasn't out of spite. It was just out of, I don't want to fucking work anymore. I didn't want to I don't want to go to work Monday through Friday to pay for my weekend thing. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have fun and do things that I wanted to do all the time.
And that's what I evolved into eventually. Yeah, it started off as this like funny spite thing, but that's exactly what my evolution was too. And I'd be curious, and this may sound very ego inflated or whatever, but I wonder what we've done who's inspired people to actually go out and do something. No, that has happened. Remember the dudes who, the last time we went to Last Resort, and dudes came down from Wisconsin to come hang out?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were like, hey, man, it's because you guys talked about it. We're here. So, yeah.
I wonder if we've ever inspired someone to do something or come and then meet us or hang out with us. And they were highly, they're like, this, you guys suck.
Wow.
Yeah, this is really disappointing. What
you guys do is
just. And then instead of the trajectory of doing something fun, it threw off their trajectory to like not be involved in this.
We ruined their lives so much, they just went and got a regular job.
They did the complete opposite.
They're like, I'm not ending up like those two dudes.
This McDonald's job is fine.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Please tell us if that has ever happened.
No, they don't listen to us anymore.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Damn it. Oh, well. Well, I guess we'll never know.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's that.
Yeah, that's that.
Yeah. Do you want to take a break, do the giveaway now, or do you want to do it later today on IG Live?
Let's do it on our next episode.
Okay, so one more week.
I mean, why not?
I mean, yeah, why
there's
not?
There's no that's reason. Fine. There's no rush. You know,
okay.
So if you're listening to this, we're going to give away some stereo speakers and stuff next on our next episode.
Yeah, we'll do that next week.
Yeah.
So get orders in.
I don't know. We could talk about Forbidden on the next episode too.
Yeah.
Yeah. The pre-reg and all that stuff, how it's going. And all
that's an interesting topic.
It is an interesting topic. And all this other exciting things that are happening with the show too. So
cool. Next week. So tune in next week. Give stuff away. But in the meantime, go to our websites. Again, we said in the beginning, top of the episode or somewhere during the episode, please buy shirts.
Please.
We need that to happen.
I need that to happen.
Yeah.
Right now.
Thank you. All right. LiveLifeCustom.com, Grindr-TV.com.
Yep.
All right. Bye.